security situation overall has improved, and this is due to, of course, in part that UNAMID has become much more robust in our approach and our protection of civilian strategy. There's also what was not there before, which is that we have a peace agreement, which gives people some hope that maybe peace is at hand. However, the armed movement that have not yet signed on to the peace agreement, that have not joined the political process, it's very important that they are persuaded to do so for the sake of the people of Darfur, because obviously, unless and until they do, then the conflict between the armed forces of Sudan and their own military is likely to continue.
What do you think are the major challenges facing UNAMID today?
Well, first, we are now almost fully deployed. And then the member states of the United Nations are looking for how, in the climate of difficult financial situation, to reduce costs. And because, as I mentioned, the security situation was vastly improving, there was a feeling that there could be some reduction, there could be some savings. So one challenge is to make sure that in drawing down some of the forces, it is done in such a way that does not undermine the gains that we have made, particularly in terms of the protection of civilian population. That's one challenge. The second is really the restrictions that we, in our patrols, encounter on the part of the government, but also on the part of the armed movement. Statistically, these are not huge, but we are not supposed to be at all impeded in our movement. And we contest when these are done, we contest it, and in most cases, we overcome. One of our core mandates is to facilitate the delivery of humanitarian assistance to those who are in need. Now, there are particular areas like Jebel Mara, East Jebel Mara, and which have not been accessed for months. And obviously, we are not happy about that. I'm making efforts to try to relaunch what I did last year called Operation Spring Basket, where I personally led the team of military, the police, the humanitarian actors, the UN country team members, to open up the humanitarian space. Now, we want to do the same thing this year so that all the areas of people who are needing humanitarian assistance will be served.
After the independence of South Sudan last year, do you think we can see the same scenario repeated in Darfur?
Well, there's no evidence of that. I think even before the separation of the South, what the Darfurian armed movement, all of them, are saying that they want more power sharing, more wealth sharing, more decentralization of power between Khartoum and Darfur, but there's no suggestion that they want to move in the direction of separation. Now, having said that, it's very important that all these root causes of the conflict in Darfur are addressed so that it will not come to the direction which maybe the South of Sudan have taken. Now, having said that, I must also mention that even now, after the separation and then the establishment, the formation of what is called the Sudan Revolutionary Front, where the armed movements in Darfur that have not joined the peace process have teamed up with SPLM North to form this Sudan Revolutionary Front. Their objective, which they have stated publicly, is not to push for the separation of Darfur, but to change the regime in Khartoum. So they have a pan-Sudan agenda, but there's not a single element in their declared program about separation.